Good morning. Now, I didn't talk to Devin before he lit Psalms, but he lit this one anyway. One is walking with me over life's uneven ways, constantly supporting me each moment of the day. How can I be lonely when such fellowship is mine with my blessed Lord divine? Easy. That's how I can be lonely. Easy. Sometimes, as Christians, we appropriately latch on to verses and concepts that carry us through as Christians, and we should. But sometimes in our enthusiasm and maybe our need to build ourselves up in those realms, we ignore the realities of life in this world. And we pretend that we can make them go away by some, quote, Christian thought or verse, unquote. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. You know, we recently moved into a new clinic. It's pretty fancy. Everybody was excited about going, except me. I wasn't excited about going. Been in the same place for 43 plus years and treated over a quarter of a million patients that personally I treated there. And remodeled it myself 7 times with the help of family and could walk around there in the dark as easy as I can in my house. And I wasn't really excited, and still not really excited, but I'm learning to appreciate some of the good things that are there, some of them. But the one thing I really dislike about it is now you come into clinic and you're called back, and you come down this long hall on both sides, completely separated by everybody, and you come into the exam rooms from the outside, and the doctors and nurses come from the inside, and you're taken care of, and you go back out along long halls to the outside. Old clinic, you come down the center, inside, and you spread out to the rooms from the inside. Now, what's the difference? The difference is I can see who's there. And the old one, I knew who was there, even if I wasn't taken care of. I knew who was there, and being the bashful person I am, I would walk up to them and say, "Hi, how you doing? How's your?" And I know all these people. I've only been there forever. "Hi, how you doing? What's going on? You know, I know you're here to see Dr. Streeter, but he's a pretty good guy, but I just want to check on you, make sure you're all right. Sometimes it gets you in trouble." I remember the lady that was walking through, and I'm horrible about remembering some things. Asked her how her husband was doing, and he'd been dead for 2 years. So then you learn how to apologize, okay? Very quickly. But the reason I don't like that is because you lose that sense of neighborliness, that sense of attachment, that sense of you and I are in this together. And I think one of the biggest problems that the world faces today is loneliness. And this psalm that we sing, I'm not saying it's wrong, but in some ways it's wrong. And we need to recognize that and talk about it a little bit. I was at the cemetery sale yesterday. We don't sell cemeteries. We just sell stuff to support the cemeteries. Cemetery sale, and I'm was just impressed about how many people really enjoy just walking up or sitting down beside them, touching their arm, putting your arm around them. I know all these people. Putting your arm around, "How you doing? Haven't seen you for a while." People are dying for lack of someone to talk to feel a sense of camaraderie with, to feel closeness. And it's even worse in our technological world that we have today, where people, not just young people, people are out on dates and I observe it when Margaret and I go out, and they're sitting across the table from each other, ordered their dinner, and are talking on their cell phones, texting. Both of them, I hope they're texting each other, but I doubt it, okay? Although someone did tell me, I was talking to my cousin yesterday, said he had his girls out when they were younger, and one girl was in the front seat beside him, and the other two were back and back, and they were, all of them, it was quiet in the car. He says, he told the girl in the front seat, his daughter says, why don't you guys talk? She says, we are. They were texting back and forth from the front seat to the back seat. Well, you may get a message across, but there's no closeness to it, okay? There's no closeness to it. You know, God made a very, very good Eden. He said it was very, very good, but Adam was missing something. He was alone. We don't know how long he was alone. We know he was alone for quite a while. God brought the animals to him to try to find someone that would be helpful to him and was unsuccessful. God knew that was going to happen, but Adam needed to be convinced. He was unsuccessful. And it always impresses me, and I know I've said it before, that Adam was in this perfect place as much as humanly, as earthly possible on earth, walking and talking with God, walking and talking with God, and God himself said, something is missing here. Something is missing here. He didn't say we need more beauty among the humans. That would have been true. Okay? What he said was, it's not good for man to be alone. It's not good for man to be alone. So the first, if you think of it that way, the first fault in God's creation was loneliness. Loneliness. And it's still a very basic concern for all of us. Psychology Today magazine said there is no more destructive influence on physical and mental health than the isolation of you from me and us from them. It contributes to a lot of mental issues. It contributes to a lot of criminal activity. We know that lonely people don't live as long. Really don't live as long as people who have lots of company. We are created to be together, to have fellowship, to be with one another. Max Lucado saw an epitaph and it read, and this is disturbing. Epitaph on a stone as you walk through the cemetery. Sleep, but rest not. Loved, but was not loved. Tried to please, but pleased not. Died as she lived, alone. Isn't that sad? Isn't that sad? So, despite the song that we sang, and I won't ask you to raise your hands, is there anyone here that's lonely today? Or have you ever been lonely? And when we're not talking about whether we should depend on God, whether we should realize that God is there. We'll talk about that a little later. We're talking about reality, and the reality of human experience is that we feel lonely at times. You can feel lonely in a crowd, right? You can feel lonely in a crowd, isolated in a crowd. Loneliness, it's a kind of that sick feeling you get in your stomach, like everyone's looking at you. And you wonder what's going on. And it's an anxiety that doesn't care or doesn't go away, but gets worse in the night. Something that happens when you hear maybe a certain song that reminds you of something. Or something reminds you and brings up an old memory. Something missing. Now, maybe Christians have said they would shouldn't have that, but you and I, if we're honest, will agree that we do have that from time to time. And it looks a little different for everyone. There are several groups of lonelies, and I probably don't have them all. The single person is lonely. You that are married, do you remember what it was like to want a partner? To need a partner? That loneliness, you just wish you had a partner? What it was like to return to maybe an empty house? Or eat by yourself, watch TV by yourself, whatever it is, it's always by yourself. And just needing someone to share it with. There's a poem, and I don't know what grammatical form this actually takes, so hopefully I can read it in the proper way, about a young lady who is alone on New Year's Eve. New Year's Eve is a time that we typically culturally get together and spend time together, interact together. God, it's New Year's Eve, and I took a hot bath, poured powder and lotion and perfume recklessly, donned my newest long, dainty nightgown. I guess I was hoping all that would erase some of the agony of being alone in such a gallant, celebrating, profound moment when everyone so likes to be with someone to watch a new year end. It hasn't helped too much. I've tried to sleep, hoping that would beat away the endless hours, but after all afternoon and 2 hours tonight, I'm worn out from sleep. I stumbled from one room to the next, wanting to cry. Oh God. Can't read my own writing. Oh God, yeah. The walls are so silent. There's no one around to laugh and change the subject. I so wish for a friendship to bury, for a friend's lap to bury my head, let my tears spill unabashedly, long and freely. I don't know if you've ever been that lonely, okay? But there are times that I have felt loneliness, and there are times that you have felt loneliness. I remember when I went off to college, and everybody left, and you didn't know anybody, okay? And you're looking around at all these people, and you say, what am I doing here? And your imagination takes over, and you imagine they're all geniuses, and you're a dope. And you imagine that they all are socially adept and you're a sore thumb, and you imagine all those things because you feel so alone. The lonely single. And then we have the lonely survivors. And these are important, all of them, because when I get to the end, I'm going to challenge you to find lonely people and put your arm around them. Not necessarily literally, but not ruling that out. Find them and help them, because we have a lot of them here. In fact, you're all here at one time or another. I'm going to challenge you. We have the lonely survivors, a survivor of a marriage, a widow or a widower. Do you know what it would seem like to be this part of you, literal part of you that's there and then gone? That's there and then gone? I can imagine, but I'm sometimes not very good at it. When Margaret used to go south to visit her mom, she would leave on Friday while I was at work. I'd come home to an empty house, and she would come back on Monday, typically, sometimes Sunday night. Come back on Monday. So I had Friday night, Saturday, Sunday, and then back to work Monday. So once I'm back to work, I got other people around. So Friday night, Saturday, Sunday. Margaret really liked that because when she got back, the whole house was cleaned. All the dishes were done. The laundry, I'd do some of that because I couldn't sleep. I was wired. I do not like being by myself. I do not like being by myself. What if that was permanent? No one to share with. I talk to many widows and widowers daily, and we talk about what it's like to come home and fix supper for yourself, eat supper by yourself, clean up supper by yourself. That's lonely. Or the artificial widows and widowers who are victims of divorce, the same thing. How about senior citizens? You think they're lonely? Senior citizens, of which some of us are rapidly approaching, okay, maturity. Senior citizens are so lonely, they will even come to the doctor to get somebody to talk to. Now that's scary, okay? Just to talk to. I'm convinced that most senior citizens don't like Meals on Wheels. They just like people bringing it. Someone to talk to. You remember the old Harry Chapin? Here we go, Destry. Old Harry Chapin song, Cats in the Cradle, Silver Spoon, Little Boy Blue, and the Man in the Moon. Toward the end of it, he says, won't you come home, son? He said, I would, Dad, but I'm kind of busy. Kids are in school, things to do. Maybe someday, Dad, we can do that. That's where our senior citizens are. They've discovered too late how wonderful it is to be needed. To be needed. You know, when your children are young and even teenagers, they still need you. But how difficult is it to wake up in the morning and know or feel like in a way that no one needs you? That you're looking for the word unnecessary, that you are just something that's sitting on a shelf somewhere people like to look at once in a while. And they wonder, as Dad did when I talked to Dad several times, and Walter does when you talk to Walter, is why am I still here? Why am I still here? And who understands what I'm going through? I feel so alone. The lonely sufferer has pain that causes them to be alone. No one understands my pain. I could try to explain it to you, but you won't understand my pain. And I have trouble understanding your pain. And that pain always makes us feel alone. We have people who are lonely because, and hopefully you're one of them, they try to serve God. Try to give God the credit. Try to lead someone else to God. You know, leadership is always lonely. By definition, leadership is lonely. Don't ever try to be a leader of anything if you can't tolerate loneliness. Figure it out, because by definition, you're going to have times where you and you alone are going to make a decision all by yourself. Whether you're the leader of your family, leader of a business, leader of a church, whatever it is. Lonely. Those are all just some pictures of loneliness, but the one thing I want to make sure that we understand is that loneliness is not a sin. You know, as I sing number 489, I understand what it's trying to say. But I don't understand the feeling it gives me that if I feel that loneliness, that somehow I miss something. Loneliness is not a sin. God created us in His image. He relishes fellowship, and He made us so that we desire it and miss it when we don't have it. There's loneliness in the Bible many times. David the king was lonely on several occasions. David the king knew what it was like to hide in caves when people were trying to kill him, and he knew what it was like to sit on a throne whenever everybody bowed down before him. And despite all that, he said things like, my days are consumed like smoke. My bones are burned as a hearth. I am like a pelican of the wilderness. I am like an owl of the desert. I watch and am as a sparrow alone upon the housetop. That brings some visuals to me. Sparrow sitting alone on a housetop, looking around, wondering where everybody's at. Where's everybody at? It's a man after God's own heart. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. Same man, remember, who said in many other psalms, God is with him, never forsaking him, etc., etc. But loneliness is very real. And it's very damaging. Jeremiah the prophet. Jeremiah wrote our book of Jeremiah, and he also wrote Lamentations. They're originally probably one book, but Lamentations is nothing more than a group of funeral songs. A group of funeral songs. Jeremiah tried to talk to a group of people who just weren't listening. He was frustrated, and he was all alone. And he said, "Oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place of wayfaring men, that I might leave my people and go from them, for they be all adulterers, an assembly of treacherous men." I wish there was a motel somewhere out in the desert where I could just go check in and forget it. A place for wayfaring men, because I'm all alone. Fellowship makes a difference. In our class this morning, if you were listening, which I'm sure you were if you're up here, Paul distinctly makes the difference between being somewhere personally and writing a letter. He said they're just not the same. That wasn't all because of spiritual gifts. That wasn't all because of spiritual gifts at all. Paul, the apostle who wrote a large part of the New Testament, gives us many of the things that we all hang on to, dealt with many of the same things that we deal with. Now, this is Paul the apostle, a man that stood up to the government, stood in front of kings, been nearly killed several times because of his faith and what he was preaching. So he knew God. "Do thy diligence to come shortly to me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved the present world, and is departed into Thessalonica. Crescens to Galatia." Everybody's going somewhere. "Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. At my answer, no man stood with me. All men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge." Sounds like a lonely man to me. Sounds like someone who feels and is, in some respects, all alone. All alone. In some ways, he's a lonely servant of God, lonely sufferer, his thorns in the flesh, a lonely senior and a lonely single adult, all one. So feeling lonely is not a sin, okay? Feeling lonely is not a sin. Indulging in it and living in it and bathing in it is. So it's a sin if we don't confront it in some way. If we let it possess us and ruin our lives, then it becomes sin. So how do we get over this loneliness that comes on all of us? Well, it's pretty easy. Find somebody to be with, right? I'm done. Find somebody to be with. First thing is to acknowledge the reality of our loneliness. Be honest with ourselves. It's not a weakness to feel all alone at times. Be honest. Jesus said, "I'll never leave you or forsake you," and that's true. But that doesn't mean I can't feel lonely in this alien world. He hasn't left me or forsook me. I haven't forgot him, but I'm still feeling lonely. Loneliness is part of the human experience. We need to acknowledge that. And God has made provision for loneliness. The worst of loneliness is estrangement from God. And it's solvable only one way. Only one way to get over that emptiness, that lack of completeness, that hole in us that God placed there for himself. You can't get rid of it. You can't putty it over. You can't ignore it. It's there in everybody. A hole made for God. And if we as Christians think about it, we are connected to someone who experienced the ultimate loneliness. The ultimate loneliness for us on the cross. No one was with him. Not even God. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? The ultimate loneliness for you. So you wouldn't have to experience the ultimate loneliness. Because hell is ultimately lonely. People say a lot of dumb things. I say a lot of dumb things, but people say a lot of dumb things. One of the dumber ones they can say that shows their ignorance is, I'm going to go to hell so I can be with all my friends. Well, you may be with all your friends, but you're going to be all by yourself. Why do you think it's dark? You ever wake up at night, have one of those nights when there's not a speckle? I mean, a firefly couldn't be seen. Can't see anything. I've got to admit, there are times when it's that dark, it's frightening no matter where you are. No matter where you are. You'd like to have a little bit of light, right? Just a teeny wee little bit of light. Hell is going to be the ultimate loneliness. But because of Jesus and his being lonely, we don't have to experience that loneliness. Now here's a place I want to be careful. Knowing God's word is a way to fill your mind and heart. And there are multiple passages that we could go to. I'm going to go to just a couple here. You could go through the whole Bible. But a couple I wanted to read. When my father and my mother forsake me. Now, that's bad. When my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. David. And Paul, the other man that we talked about, said, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. For that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do to me. Saying those things, reading those words, can be helpful. But delving into the Word of God is not just getting your book out and reading it. Words are packages. They're packages that carry meaning. And meaning that's amplified when applied to life's experiences. So to just read the Word, it's like looking at the package and not opening it. All those words carry with them meaning, experience, all kinds of things, different for all kinds of people. And so when it says in the Bible to study, it doesn't mean just read the Word. It means think about it. It means think, undo the package. Open it up. Jesus never spoke English, so the package is kind of weird in a way. But open it up and see what it means. Otherwise, you're like your birthday and you got a package and you like the paper and you just leave it like that. I doubt if any of you will do that. Open it up and look at it. And then you know what I've got to say about friends. Christian fellowship. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. It would be difficult to overestimate the importance of this. The person who thinks they can be a Christian by themselves, it may not be impossible, but close. You learn so much less. You have so much less help. Your strength is diminished. Christian by themselves is a big old bullseye for the devil to aim at. We are important to one another, all of us. Even if you feel at times that you aren't important, you are important. Every last one. Every last one. So in some ways, loneliness for us is a choice. It's a choice. It's not the isolated moments we all experience, but it's that lingering, pervasive, overwhelming feeling that no one cares and I'm by myself. We needn't feel that way. Most of the books of the Bible, of the New Testament in a way, are written to churches as a whole, not individuals. There's a few individuals strung through there, but mostly churches. And one of the things I just don't understand why people don't understand is a little Proverbs back in chapter 18 and 24 that says, a man that hath friends must show himself to be friendly. I am not likely to be friendly with you if you're obnoxious. Because I've got somebody standing next to you that I can be friendly with that isn't obnoxious. So I have a choice. A man who would have friends must show himself to be friendly. And then, for lack of time, I won't go to Ecclesiastes where it talks about a threefold cord. Where we together are so much stronger than any one of us individually, it's not very comparable. And the last thing I want to talk about is a parable in Matthew, the 18th chapter. How thank you, he says. If a man have 100 sheep and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoices more over that sheep than the 99 which went not astray. Even so it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Now I know what this parable is about. This parable is about Jesus caring for us. Right? Every last one of us. But it's also about loneliness. Because if I'm the one sheep that's wandering around out there in the open, I am alone. I'm alone. We as Christians, especially among the house of God, but even outside, need to be searching for strays. We need to be looking for people who are lonely. Because ultimately, everybody that becomes a Christian because they're lonely. Right? They're lonely for God. He's missing in their lives. They're lonely. You and I need to be the friendly, helpful, caring, observant people who with our hearts and not our minds see when people are lonely and just need somebody, just need a reassuring hand, a hand of help, a kind word, a look, a smile, name it. That's what we can do. And I suspect more people have become Christians because someone befriended them, cared about them, than because they sat down one day and said, I think I'm a sinner. I need to become a Christian. That didn't happen very often. That's where we end up, right? But it has to start with friendly. It has to start with caring. So don't feel like you're sinning if you feel lonely. Don't stay there, but don't feel like you're sinning if in some way you feel lonely, because that means you've got a big tag on you that says, I'm human. But don't stay there. But look for others who are lonely and share with them what you might have learned about how you can get rid of your loneliness. Share that with them, because that's what they're looking at. And we don't want anybody to experience the ultimate loneliness of hell. You look at the contrast between heaven and hell, and the loneliness, and even the symbolic pictures of heaven. Whether they're all gathered around, all singing together, there's no loneliness there. It's fellowship with God and with each other. Purpose is twofold. Don't feel sinful if you're lonely. Do something about it. But beware and help those around you who are as well. We'll offer the gospel invitation now to anyone who might be in need, who may feel they have that hole and they need a friend. Everyone here is willing to be your friend. Okay? Everyone here, I am confident, is willing to be your friend. Sometimes I'm more adept at it than others. Sometimes I don't show it very well, but I'm sure we're all willing to be your friend. But God, man, nobody's more willing to be your friend than God. I mean, he wanted you to be his friend so much that he gave his son so you'd have the opportunity. He left his son all by himself, hanging on a cross in misery, so that you wouldn't be lonely. If you want that invitation, if you want what he's offering you, we offer that as we stand and sing the closing song.